I get the privilege and honor to invite up, as he encouraged me to do so, the guy that preached to us a couple months ago, I think it was, Ryan Wright. Pastor Ryan Wright, as he's coming, I just want to tell you something about this man. He has his hands in so many things in this valley. He is the chaplain for the Santa Clara Police Department. He has ministries that he's leading. And I gotta say, he's a good man. I will not tell you that honestly about every individual that comes up here because I don't know him that well. I know Ryan well enough to know he's a good man, and he was killing it last time he preached. So if you would, please welcome Pastor Ryan Wright.
Thank you. That sounds like a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Whoever that was, Verizon, AT&T, I don't know who it was. Good morning. It is so good to see you. If I could, I can almost see you out there. That's awesome. The lights are bright. I appreciate the opportunity to speak again. Pastor Greg had back surgery. I've heard it was his OLD ligament that was acting up. OLD. He's just getting old, baby. He's getting old. Some of you will get that on the way home. Oh, well. Oh, well, D ligament, when it starts to act up, it starts in your eyes and then it hits your neck. Then it comes down into your shoulder and into your back and your knees. I've had OLD flare-ups for years, but that's just the way that is. Which leads us right into the great verse that Mary just read for us. Consider it pure joy. It's probably your favorite verse. I'm imagining that you heard this morning, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. Consider it pure joy when you face troubles of many kinds. Hot diggity, so glad I came this morning. Some of you are like, why didn't I hit snooze? I was the Lord speaking to me, hit snooze. I thought it was the devil. No, I'm glad you're here. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't have to figure out how to get troubles of many kinds. Those come. But the joy is, the challenge is, how do we consider it pure joy? And I love this part here where it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I think oftentimes we think that these trials are testing us. But let me just tell you something right now. Trials will beat you every time. The test isn't about can you stand in trials, because I'll tell you this, I can't. But it's the testing of my faith is what this is about. Every trial that I experience in my life isn't testing me, because I fail tests. I'm really good at that. It's a gift I have. But my faith is in God. And it's testing whether or not my faith is firmly planted in the resource and in the person that I need it to be planted in. Jesus said this in John 16:32. A time is coming. In fact, he says, it's come that you'll be scattered each to your own home. You'll leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise. You can take that one to the bank. That check will cash. But take heart. I, Jesus said, have overcome the world. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So, I believe that one of the reasons God put me on the planet is to help people in the midst of crisis. It's just the way that I'm wired. It's the way that God has purposed me to live. When a lot of people are running from the crisis, I find myself time and time again running to the crisis. Some would even say it's a coincidence. Ryan, you're always there when there's a crisis. Maybe there's a connection point on that. I've been a chaplain, like Sean said, I've been a chaplain for 20 years with the Santa Clara Police Department. I served as a chaplain at 9/11, right after the attack on the World Trade Center. I served in New York City as a chaplain at Ground Zero. I work with funeral homes. I'm that guy that does funerals for people that you don't know. Why would you do that? Because I like to do that. I love to do that. As a matter of fact, my motto is I put the fun back in funeral. It's kind of where I go with that. And whenever someone says, hey, we want to have a funny funeral, I'm the guy they call here in the Silicon Valley. I for many, many years, did 3 to 6 funerals a month. So I helped people in crisis. About 15 years ago, I had a brother-in-law who committed suicide, who took his life. Probably one of the biggest crises of our life. Just so much in our life has been about, in my life, has been about crisis and helping people through crisis. But that's just my story. And what I know is that if we had enough time this morning, we could each tell the story of the storms that have come and gone in your life, of the tragedies, of the crisis, of the things that you dreaded. Each of us in this room has faced our own personal ground zeros. Those moments when maybe the towers have fallen, that we find ourselves just sitting in the midst of the rubble and the wreckage, and we say, what do we do now? Those times in our lives when everything just blew up, collapsed. We heard words like, it's cancer. There was a car accident. I went to get her out of the crib, and she had passed away with SIDS. He's dead. Suicide. We think it's Alzheimer's. They were molested, raped, domestic violence, divorce, affair. We have to declare bankruptcy. They got arrested. They're going to prison. Addiction, pornography. And that's just a few. The list goes on and on and on. And as I have walked through trials and as I have helped others and walked others through their own valleys of darkness and of death, I've learned some things that I want to share with you today. I have experienced some things. I have observed some things. And there's a story in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 8 of Jesus with his disciples in the midst of a storm. And I want to read it to you, and then I want to show you some things out of this story that I think relate to our stories. And I want to remind you that oftentimes these physical stories that Jesus is in, these real moments of an actual storm, are real storms, but they're also help us see the figurative storms in our life. That earthquakes are real. We see that in the news right now, and hurricanes, and all of those are storms, but there's so many other kinds of storms. So let's read here real quick. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27 reads like this. Then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. I love this. But Jesus was sleeping. I think sometimes a nap is the most spiritual thing we can do. And I just take that sometimes and say, I'm going to go and lay before the Lord, which means I'm going to take a nap. I want to be like Jesus. Come on, how many of you know that a rested you is always better than an exhausted you, right? Come on. And if you don't know, ask the people you live with. They will tell you that for sure. So the disciples went and they woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. To which Jesus answered, can't you tell that I'm asleep? Why would you wake me? No, it doesn't say that in there. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? I want you to remember that. I think there's two ways for us to read that in the passage. One is this. You of little faith. What? Jeez, why are you so afraid? Why would you bother my nap for this? It's kind of a shaming way. And then there's this way. There's that way of a father to its child. And he says, oh, you have little faith. No. There's no need to be afraid. I got you. I just prefer to always read Jesus from the loving angle versus the shaming angle. I don't know about the world you grew up in, but I grew up in a world where, like, shame was a primary motivator in our world and in our church. That there's this thing, someone said, shame on you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been trying to get shame off me for 55 years. Leave me alone. Don't put any more on me. I've got enough. She said, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. In another, the same story told later, it says he stood up and he said, peace, be still. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man? They said, well, first of all, I'm thinking, well, what did you expect him to do? You woke him up. I mean, we're going to die together, and we want you to know it, Lord. We just wanted to wake you up so that when we die, we could all look in each other's eyes and say goodbye. I don't know what they were expecting, but they didn't expect this. They didn't expect anyone to stand up and take authority over the circumstances of their world. But Jesus did it, and they were amazed. And there's some things now that I want to pull out of this passage. If I'm not careful, I'll just talk about the passage and forget my points, so I've got to stay with my notes. I get ADD flare-ups every once in a while, and off I go, so you got to stay with me. So what we know about this passage and what I've learned, what you've probably learned already from life itself, and the first one is this. Crisis comes unexpectedly, even if you're an expert. The crisis will come out of nowhere. The Greek word for suddenly is also translated without warning. Several of these disciples were fishermen. They knew when storms were coming. They had an app for that. No, maybe they didn't. But they knew, and you know what? Have you ever looked at your app in the morning? It says no rain, so you leave your patio furniture uncovered, and then later on in the day, it says there's rain. I just get so mad about that. I have to go. Anyway, it's ADD. Sorry. But they couldn't trust an app. The weather came out of nowhere. And you may be in a crisis in your life today. You may be here today taking water on your boat. You may feel like you're about to drown. I pray that this message today will guide you and will help you in the days to come. You may be in smooth waters right now. It may look really good. Things might be going well. You might even think this message isn't for you. But please remember that the storms of our life come unannounced. I have yet to see a crisis that has RSVP'd with me before it came. Almost all crises in our lives hit us unexpectedly. Maybe with just a phone call. So if you're sitting here today thinking, well, this is not a message for me, maybe it is. You don't know. So you would be wise. So we would be wise to stow these words away like a life vest in the hull of our boat. Because crisis always comes suddenly and without warning. Be prepared. Number two, crisis comes even if Jesus is in your boat. That's what I learned from this story. That just because Jesus is in my boat doesn't mean I'm not going to have to go through a storm. If we are not careful, we can mistake the good days as God's blessings and favor and the hard days as God's judgment and displeasure. Come on with me. Have you ever done that? Things are going good. I bet God's happy. Things are going bad. I bet he's ticked. What did I do? Right? I know why this is, because I did this and this. That's more superstition. Isn't it amazing how we always want to, I mean, if I were to say, how many of you want to live a life of miracles? Who would want that? I want miracles in my life. Do you realize that before there can be miracles, there has to be a crisis? Be careful what you pray for. The disciples wanted miracles, so Jesus gave them a crisis. That's not what I had in mind. It's not what I wanted, but it's what you need. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, for the trying of your faith develops you maturity. But just because Jesus is in your boat doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. God never promised, ever promised. God never, turn to your neighbor and say, God never promised that you won't have troubles. As a matter of fact, Jesus promised you would. In this world, you will have. In this world, you will have. Promise. Many troubles. Of many kinds. I love this. Psalms 23. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isn't that great? Don't you want it? Oh, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm on that walk. I'm taking that hike. Let's do it, Jesus. Next verse. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what happened to the path of righteousness? Woo, we're lost. Oh my goodness. I went on a walk with Jesus and he's lost. No, he's not lost. Because the path of righteousness leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He prepares a table before me. Where is the path of righteousness? In the presence of my enemies. That's not the dining company I'm looking for. But it's where the path of righteousness leads us. I love the fact that it doesn't lead us to the valley, but it leads us through the valley. God never intends for us to hike or to camp in that dark valley, just to walk through it. He always promises us that whatever storm we go through, it will be for our good, and he will not let it destroy us if we will trust him. If our faith is in him, I don't think I can do it is a great statement as long as it's followed up with, but I believe that God can get me through it. Many times in my life, I've thought, I don't think I can do it. But God, I believe you can get me through it. Third point, number three. When we are in the midst of our crisis, it will often seem devastating beyond recovery. This is the way it will feel. I want you to understand, if you feel like, I don't think I can do it, you're not wrong and you're not crazy. You're just in the midst of a crisis. In one translation, it says that the disciples said to Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Be careful with that question, because Jesus might say, yeah, I really don't. No. Or he could have said, of course you're about it. Of course you're not about to die, but you will die. You know, the latest statistic says that one out of every one of us is going to die. We're all dying. The death rate's been hovering at 100% for a long time. But the disciples drew conclusions before they consulted with Jesus. Don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus is like, don't you know that I'm in your boat? And this ain't the way I'm going to die. I've told you several times I'm going to die by crucifixion. They were not the smartest bunch. Let me just tell you that. But that wasn't the way Jesus was going to die. That's why Solomon tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I remember walking up the stairs at Kaiser Santa Clara. My daughter had been in the hospital for about 2 months. Couldn't find answers. And I remember walking up the stairs saying to myself, I choose today to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, to lean not on my own understanding. God, I don't understand, but you do. So easy, if we're not careful, to forget in the darkness what God has told us in the light. And when things seem like there's no way out, just remember we serve a God who specializes in getting out of situations where it seems like there's no way out. That the resurrection was an amazing thing, and this storm is an example where they said, it seems like it's over, there's no more hope. And Jesus said, hang on. And now I want to give you, that's the way it works. That's the way crisis works. That's the way storms work in our life. But what are we to do? And I want to give you three essential elements today that we must cling to that will help keep us afloat in rough waters. Three things that I have found in my life that if I think sometimes I've lost these, but I found out that I always have them. And if I will use them, they will get me through crisis in my life. These are things that we tend to think we've lost, but if we are traveling with Jesus, if we have him in our boat, they're always there. The first one is this. We always have choices. Choices. It was several years ago. Ed Cole was a speaker for men, and he is doing a conference. And Ed Cole, put it this way. I was an adult man, and I remembered him from when I was a kid, so he was really old. And he was doing this men's conference back at when Jubilee was called Jubilee, and he was here in town. And about 3 weeks prior to that, he had fallen as an older gentleman and broke his back. But he was, so we had to have some other speakers come in for the conference. But he found a way to be there, and he wanted to greet the men. And so he came out, and he walked really gingerly, and he sat down on a stool, and he looked up, and you thought, well, this old man. Then he said, gentlemen, life is about choices. And if you don't like your life, make different choices. And he stood up, and he walked out. And we went to 2 days of speakers, and that's the only thing I remember. And that's all I needed. It was worth the price of submission. Life is about choices. And if you don't like your life, make different choices. And while we don't ever get to choose, don't always get to choose the circumstances we're in, we always have choices. We always can choose our attitude. We can always choose our response to circumstances. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That right there is a whole section of choices. You can choose to rejoice in any and every circumstance. You can choose to be gentle rather than hostile. You can choose prayer over anxiety. You can choose to allow God's peace to guard your heart and your mind. You can choose what it is you will allow your mind to dwell on. We make choices and God makes the changes. And the disciples made a really good choice. They went over and woke Jesus up. In the midst of your trial, go get Jesus. Right? Isn't it amazing how we like to talk to everybody else about our problems? Right? How are you doing? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I've just got this problem. What if we just chose to talk to God first? So many times we forget that Jesus is in our boat. Lord, what would you have me do? Just ask him that. If anyone needs wisdom, the scripture says, let him ask God, who gives freely to all men without finding fault. That's the one prayer that God will always answer. If you ask God for wisdom, he will always answer that prayer for you. He won't answer all your prayers. He won't give you everything you want. But I promise you, if you want a yes from God, ask him for wisdom. And he will say yes every time. It's your choice. It's our choice. We get to choose to be a part of the solution rather than to complicate the problem. Don't point, but you know anybody that just tends to complicate their problems rather than try to solve them? Don't be that person. We get a choice. But in all, when we stop and we really begin to think about it, we think oftentimes in the midst of circumstances, I don't have a choice. I know a lady who's going through an ugly divorce, but she keeps saying, I don't have any choice. To which I always respond, yes, you do. You have a lot of choices. You can't choose your circumstance, but you can choose your response. And here's the amazing thing. While you can't change your circumstances, this story tells us that Jesus can. That's why they were amazed. Because this looked like a scenario where, like, we're in trouble. Dude, we're going to drown. We're going under. You ever been there before? You ever think there's no way out of this? And God says, oh, yeah, there is. Why? Because God has the ability to change your circumstances. To make a way where there seems to be no way. This is the gospel. This is the good news. It doesn't mean that you have, because you don't have to be good enough for him to come in and make circumstances. They didn't have a lot of faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus commented on, oh, you of little faith. They weren't faith people yet. They were just scared people at the moment. And sometimes you just got to go to Jesus scared. Because he has the ability to change the circumstances, but you always have the choice as to where you'll turn for your help and your support. Number two, and we always have hope. You ever felt like there's no hope? All hope is gone. You always have hope if Jesus is in your boat. I always have hope if Jesus is here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the NIV says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because I am able to do it, because I can do all things. No, because you are with me. And even I can do all things through Christ. As long as Jesus is in our boat, and the truth of the matter is, it's really his boat, right? As long as we're in his boat, we have hope. The number one cause of suicide is hopelessness. Suicide isn't really the problem. Hopelessness is the problem. If you're with someone and they're suicidal, don't talk to them about suicide. Talk to, because that's just a perceived problem. That's a perceived solution. Talk to them about their problem because they feel hopeless. And oftentimes, people that feel helpless. And if you'll offer to help, it's an amazing thing how you can have hope and you can give them hope. Hope is a transferable commodity. You can have it and you can give it. You ever been with someone and they gave you hope? You ever been with someone and they drained all the hope out of you? Hope. You always, we always have hope. In the midst of our storms, we can become blindsided to the hope that we have. We can lose sight of hope. Paul says, we grieve, but not as those who have no. There's something on the next page. I'll find it. We all need hope. And I'm here today to tell you that there is hope. There is hope for you. Because Jesus brokers in hope. And the last thing that we all need in the midst of our crisis is we need to be together. Hope is something that we get together. I love that even when I feel alone, that God is always with me. I love that in the scriptures, whenever it says, do not be afraid, it almost always follows with, for I am with you. We're designed by God to do life together with Him and with others. From the very beginning, God said, it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. Solomon says in all of his wisdom, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. There's two things that I have found can sink my boat in crisis. Two things that can drain me and can stop me from being together with others and with God. The first one is shame. Shame is one of the enemy's greatest tools and weapons. He speaks lies. Shame can come out in my embarrassment, or I'm afraid to be vulnerable or perceived as being weak. Shame is something that often happens because I'm not doing it right. There's nothing wrong with me. There is something wrong with me, and I don't want others to know. So shame drives me into this dark place. Shame drives you into this dark place where we isolate. No one ever feels ashamed and then runs to find others and talk about it. What do we do with shame? Shame drives us into this place of isolation. And our aloneness is amplified. And hope is drained. And we get to that place that we realize that we've come where it's more important that people think I'm okay than it is for me to actually be okay. Isolation happens when it's not okay to be not okay. We run from each other. It was late in the night. Probably about 2 a.m. I was at Ground Zero, and I was walking by this firefighter. And I wore a chaplain's collar, which is kind of funny if you know me, because everybody wanted to call me Father. Father! And I'm like, I got 4 kids, I'm good. And but they wore it to identify us as chaplains. And as I walked by this firefighter, he was sitting at that place at Ground Zero. Well, you probably remember the skeletal structure still remained up. Everything else was down, but there was that white structure that was still up. And he was standing right there looking at it. And as I walked by him, he just had that look that said, I don't want to talk to a chaplain. It's just a look that a guy has. And so I just kept walking, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you should go talk to him. And I said, well, Lord, he doesn't want to talk to me. And I kept walking, and finally God said, Ryan, go back. And so I walked by him again. I said, nope, Lord, he still doesn't want to talk to me. I'm calm. And God says, well, I want you to talk to him. And so God and I had this conversation, like, God, I don't know if you're not seeing this, but we really need to respect his boundary right now. Because this guy just wasn't interested. There's just a sixth sense that you develop as a chaplain. You just know they don't want to talk to you. So finally, I went ahead and said, okay, God, I guess I got to show you that this guy doesn't. So I'll go over there. And he was sitting down with his legs crossed, looking at the pile. And as I sat down next to him, just we're sitting on the concrete, we just sat there in silence, to which I'm saying to the Lord, see, he doesn't want to talk to me. And then he says, I lost 40 friends in there. He said, not 40 people I knew, 40 of my friends. And, you know, think about that. If you want to have a beer, the first 40 people he would have called, their numbers. This was back when we had speed dial. They weren't there. And I just listened, and I said, how are things for you at home? He says, I went home, and he said, on my door was a big sign that says, Dad, you're our hero. And he said, I'm not a hero. It made me mad. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I didn't run in there. He had survivor's guilt. I didn't give my life. They're the heroes. And I said, you'd been on duty that day? Remember, we're men, so we're not looking each other in the eye. We're just staring. We're just having this boom. Shoulder to shoulder, way better than eye to eye. It kind of gets weird when you go eye to eye. And I said, so if you'd been on duty that day, would you have gone in? Well, blankety blank blank. I won't say the words, but he's blankety blank blank. Of course I would have. I said, then that's why you're our hero. Because you were willing. And we know that when time calls, you will run in. He says, you know, I go into my house and my wife comes over and wants to hug me. And I just need to go on the back patio and I just go out with my dog and just sit there. He says, my son comes up and his son's name was Ryan. And I thought that was amazing that Ryan was talking to him. And that's his son's name, which I thought, dude, there's a ton of kids named Ryan. Not a lot of old guys named Ryan, but there's a ton of kids named Ryan. But anyway, if he needed it to be God, so be it. Maybe that's the only reason God had me come over and talk to this guy. Had the right name. But no pun intended, because my name is Ryan Wright. But anyway, so I said to him, I said, so he said, my son comes and I have to leave because he says, Dad, what's it like? So I just go, I have to go, I have to leave. I said, why do you have to leave? He said, well, because, man, I start to choke up. I start to cry. And I said, okay, but why do you have to go, why do you have to go outside? He said, well, because I need to be strong and I'm about to cry. I said, I get it, but how come you have to go outside? Because I need to be strong. And finally he's looking at me. We did this little exchange and he goes, are you deaf or just an idiot? I said, well, who told you you can't be strong and cry with your son? I said, what Ryan needs is when he says, Dad, what's it like? He says, Dad, show me. He's saying, Dad, show me how to grieve this crisis. Dad, I want to be together with you in this. Would you show me how to do it? I said, your dog doesn't need a hug. Your son does. I said, he needs you to grab him and pull. He needs to feel the strength of your arms, pull him close to your chest, and then he needs to feel your warm tears run off your cheek and onto his neck. I said, that's what your boy needs. He needs to be together with you in the crisis. Because we survive crisis together. Shame and isolation drive us apart at the moments when we need each other the most. We need to lean into it together. And tears at this point were streaming down his cheeks. And he said, do you mean to tell me that it's okay for me to cry? I said, dude, it's not just okay. It's absolutely essential. You need to. He says, my wife's only seen me cry once in 17 years. And I said, dude, I'm not Catholic. I'm not taking confessions today. Just correct that issue. Don't isolate. Don't let shame drive you away from the very people that God's put in your life to help you. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay. And whatever crisis that you find yourself in today, I believe God has me here to tell you that you're not alone. That all hope is not lost. Well, Ryan, you don't know my crisis. Yes, but I know my God. And I know that even in the worst of storms, he can still amaze us. He's been walking with his disciples. They had seen people who were crippled be healed, blind people see, but yet he had an even bigger trick in his bag. He could calm the waves. That's the God that we serve. So if you would, this morning, I would love it if you would just simply close your eyes. We're going to do something a little different today. I believe that one of the great gifts that God's given us is a gift of imagination, envisioning. And sometimes we need to not just hear it, but we need to look through our mind's eye and see it. And I love contemplative prayer. I love it when we can just stop and in a moment, just experience a peace and I'll let God come in. The songs and the worship today have been amazing about the presence of God. I can't do this, you're right, but together with God and others, you can go through this storm. And if you would, I just would love for us to get into a posture, maybe with your eyes closed. Maybe take your hands and put them out in front of you and open them up like you're not holding on to anything. You're just ready to receive whatever it is God has for you. Maybe this feels weird and uncomfortable, and that's okay. And so Jesus, we just invite you into this moment with us right now. I ask that your peace would fill this place today. And I'd like you to put yourself in a boat with Jesus and others. Imagine the storm, whatever it is, name it, divorce, sickness, crisis of finances, a wayward child, mental health issues, confusion. Name your crisis. And look over in the front of the boat. And look at Jesus. And notice that he's not afraid. That he's not overwhelmed. He's resting peacefully. Because our crisis doesn't overwhelm him. And hear his words as he says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Burdened and overwhelmed. He's inviting you to wake him up. He's inviting you to gently put your hand on him and say, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. It's more than I can handle. I need your yoke. I need to give you my burden." And see Jesus as he kind of wipes the sleep out of his eyes and he turns to you, not with scorn, but he has a smile. And he says, Oh, you're learning. Your faith is very little, but you're learning. I'm so glad you woke me up. And feel his embrace as he pulls you close and he feels your pain. And you're probably thinking, hey, could we take care of the storm before we hug? But Jesus just whispers in your ear, "I got this. I got you. You're going to make it." And he speaks to your storm. Peace. Be still. And you wait today. And the storms, the waves will subside. The winds will die down. Just feel his loving embrace for you today. And choose to trust him. With all of your heart. Don't depend upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him as being in your boat and being the one who can change the circumstances. And even more important, the one who can change you in the midst of the storm. And Jesus, we thank you for being in our boat. Jesus, we thank you for being in the midst of our storms. Jesus, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And while it is not comfortable, it will always be for our good. Teach us to trust you, Lord. Teach us to live our lives in such a way that others will look and take note that we have been with Jesus. We're so incredibly grateful. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Do you feel refreshed? We had an opportunity to abide, and I just want to encourage you, if you find that you need to still be with the Lord and continue to just to listen. Maybe there's still something there that that you know you haven't been able to release. And I just want to encourage you, ask the question that Jesus asks the disciples in the boat. Lord, why am I still afraid? allow God to speak to you about that. So we're going to finish just with a chorus. And then we'll be dismissed. But I just want to encourage you, if you feel there's something still there, I love that Pastor Ryan used our imagination. That is something that's so powerful that has been neglected and almost taken over in secular circles. The imagination is powerful when used for the Lord. So I just want to encourage you, when we're done, allow yourself to ask that question. Jesus, why am I still afraid? What am I still afraid of? But when you ask that question, begin to write down whatever it is that comes to your mind. See him in your imagination. See him in a place that is beautiful. And ask him. And then have the faith to write down whatever it is he speaks to you. So as the elders are coming, we'll have elders to the left and to the right. I just want to invite you to sing this with me before we depart today. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that that would be our heart's cry today. That, Lord, we can go from this place with a confidence, knowing that we are in your boat. And Lord, if we're not, I pray right now we would make that decision. For those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I invite you, talk to these elders left and right, talk to a pastor, tell Jesus, I am yours and you are mine. I believe you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are my Savior. You died for my sin, and I want to live with you in me. Forgive me of my sin and wipe away every tear. Show me why I don't need to be afraid. Because we don't want anyone leaving this place. I can honestly say they're not in your boat, Jesus. But Father, I pray that that those who are will know, Lord. And if there's more time that we need to spend, I pray that they would. But God, there's a lot going to happen today. There's a Super Bowl. There's parties. But Father, let us get this right now before we go. As we go from this place, that we can have joy everlasting. And those who are with today will see that joy and know that it's not just our football team that might be winning. It's the fact that you are with us. We don't have to fear. It's in Jesus' mighty name that everyone said, amen. Amen.